Today's scripture is Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Dear brothers and sisters, so it has been 4 months have already passed in this year. And there's one thing I'd like us to check together at this point. What could be some of the most important words in Manmin in this year? The third stage of takeoff, faith, trust. And there's one more important word, which is 1%. The Father God, in the New Year service, when He asked us to fulfill this 1% based on the 99% fulfilled by the shepherd. And this past special Daniel prayer meeting was also with the title, Let Us Fill Up the 1%. And there is something important here. And it is to understand the essence, the core meaning of this 1%. So when you study, rather than just mugging, you should be able to understand, you should have the purpose and clear goal when you study. So it's the same when you fill up this 1%. For some people, it could be prayer or learning the word or faithfulness, voluntary services. But for some others, they've been doing all these things. But what the Father God is telling us about with this expression 1% is that we have to understand what it is and do it. We first have to understand what it is so that we can actually do it, do what is necessary. So what is the essence of this 1%? Pastor Lee Sun Lee also mentioned in our sermons, in one of our sermons, that it is our desire to make the 99% of the shepherd shine. Because He has filled the 99% for us. When we fill up the remaining 1%, His efforts will have the shining light. So that is the essence of essence when we try to fill up this 1%. Again, it is to make the 99% of the shepherd shine. And when we try to do it, there is another important thing. It is that we have to be on the same page as the shepherd so that the 99% filled by the shepherd will be made perfect. Suppose there are 99 sheets of white paper and there's one piece of gray paper. When you add them, it'll be 100, but it can't be perfect 100 pieces of paper. So to make this perfect, not just the number, but the nature also has to be the same, which means we have to have the same nature with the 99% of the shepherd when we try to fill up the 1%. So what is the origin of the 99% of the shepherd? So through this, I'd like to look into that matter based upon the fourth word of Jesus on the cross. So let us realize and understand the nature of 99% of the shepherd so that not just those who are attending the service in the main sanctuary, but also those who are attending the service on the internet and through satellite, and all the branch and associative churches worldwide, NGCN viewers, and the students on the second floor will receive blessings through this message. Dear brothers and sisters, as I said, we'll look into the fourth word of last seven words of Jesus. But before that, let us briefly review what the seven words were that we covered already. The last seven words are the words of Jesus on the cross that He said before, until before He breathed breathed his last. The first is Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. The second is Luke 23:43. Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. The third is found in John 19:26-27. Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. I believe you are familiar with these. If you don't remember them clearly, or if there are newcomers, I hope you will read or listen to the message of the cross of the senior pastor. You can read the book or listen to the MP3s of the sermons. So from now, let us get into the fourth word based on the message of the senior pastor. Today's reading passage, Matthew 27:46, says about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is Eli. So the fourth word is Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Mark 15:25 says, it was the third hour when they crucified him. The third hour is around 9 a.m. in today's time. So the third hour when they crucified him. He was hung on the cross for 6 hours under excruciating pain. Some might say that Jesus was complaining against God, hearing this word, my God, why have you forsaken me? But it was never the case. It was never that he was lamenting or complaining. Jesus, even before he came into this earth, he knew what would come. He knew everything about the pains of the cross. And yet, in order to fulfill the providence of God, he willingly took the cross. Furthermore, right toward the end, when it was almost over, he didn't go ahead and complain against God. And we can, senior pastor explained, in detail, there is a spiritual meaning contained. And it says, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. At that time, he was dragged here and there, being questioned all night, and he was flogged for so many times, and for so many hours, he was on the cross, shedding all his blood. And the pain that he was going through is inexplicable, unbearable. And it is also explained by, in the Friday online service. He was flogged by whips that had the metal pieces on it. And so his blood was coming out, and he had this extreme thirst and so much pain. And because of the pain, he wasn't really himself. And in that situation, he had to carry the cross all the way up Golgotha. And on top of the hill, wrists and the ankles were nailed, and not just that, with his hands and feet nailed through on the cross. He was hanging there for so many hours, for 6 hours, suffering from thirst and so much pain. And in that situation, he was completely exhausted, and yet he was crying out with a loud voice. It was so that people could understand why God had to forsake him completely and why he had to be crucified. At that time, until he was crucified, he was hung on the cross, which was cursed. It was to redeem us from the curse of the law, which was caused by sin. Because he had to redeem us from sins. He, on our behalf, he was cursed, and he took the pain of the cross for us. In effect, it means he took the cross to redeem us from our sins. And in order that we could realize and understand this meaning, he cried out with a loud voice. And there is a part that we have to pay attention to, which is that he didn't call God Father, but my God. In the Bible, in all four Gospels, when Jesus was calling God, he always called him Father, my Father. But just in this case, he called God my God, because he was calling God as a sinner, because he was being crucified on behalf of the sinners. Because he was taking all the sins of all mankind. So that is why, because he was in a position of a sinner, he couldn't call out to God as Father, even though he was innocent and completely sinless Son of God. Because of our sins, he was crucified. And for that reason, he couldn't call God Father. He couldn't call his most beloved Father, but he had to call him my God. And in this way, Jesus sacrificed himself for us. And in order to let us understand the meaning of his sacrifice, he cried out with a loud voice, with all his strength. Do you know why God had to forsake me? It is to redeem you from your sins, to forgive you of your sins. And another reason why he cried out with a loud voice is so that we can understand, God gave his one and only Son for us, but so many people were going the way of death still. He wanted us to realize and understand why Jesus had to be crucified and receive eternal life. That is why he cried out with a loud voice. So if we believe from our heart that Jesus was crucified for our sins, because of our sins, then we shouldn't live in sins any longer. We have to be separated from sins, and we have to live a holy life, worthy to be able to call God Father. And not just that, but we also have to spread this way of the cross all over the world, so that those who do not know this way will be saved too. Dear brothers and sisters, and hearing about this fourth word of Jesus on the cross, have you considered what kind of heart Jesus had in this word? It is that Jesus had so much love for us who are going the way of hell, and he willingly, voluntarily took all the sufferings for us. He sacrificed himself for us. Being the Son of God, he willingly put himself in the shoes of the sinners, and he sacrificed himself. And we have to understand this meaning. He wanted us to understand this meaning and gain eternal life and spread this way of cross. And through his sacrifice, the way of salvation was opened for us, brothers and sisters. So after about 2,000 years, for us who are living in today's world, we have this same kind of love. Although we received salvation through the sacrifice of Jesus, we were still going the way of death. And to save us from those sins, our shepherd had to make such a tremendous sacrifice. As you know very well, in 2010, a lot of us sent so many repentance letters with so many sins, confessing so many sins before God so that he could intercede for us. And he didn't forsake us, or he didn't ignore us. And he kept on asking God for our forgiveness. And until later, he had to receive the sort of punishment on our behalf in 2013. And during that time, he had such a tremendous, great, excruciating itchiness, no function of stomach. And so many other things, blindness and becoming, not being able to hear or see. And through all these things, our sins we gain the chance for forgiveness and salvation, and we came to hope for New Jerusalem. And through this sacrifice of Jesus, and also through this sacrifice of the shepherd, who received a sort of punishment for us, and we were forgiven. And where does this come from? Where does this sacrifice come from? It is out of compassion. Pastor Su Jin Lee explained about this in detail. And compassion is to have mercy on somebody, feel sympathy for somebody, and take care of them. And it is similar with the spiritual goodness, which does not quarrel or cry out on the streets or break a bruised reed or snuff out, put out a smoldering wick. If you have this spiritual goodness in you, and you have to have this, and the mercy in Beatitudes is the outward practice, outward appearance of this spiritual goodness inside. So this mercy comes from the heart to let the others live, give life to them. You don't break a bruised reed, which means, which symbolizes sinful people. And you don't put out a smoldering wick, which symbolizes those who have committed so many sins and are very difficult to be saved. And yet you still show mercy to them, so that they can also have a chance of salvation. Even though they don't seem to have any hope, the mercy of Jesus led him to be crucified on our behalf, so that the way of salvation was opened for us. And this mercy is also the original heart of the shepherd who made such a tremendous sacrifices for us. And this mercy of a shepherd is driving him to fulfill the 99% of the justice. And through his sacrifice, we could change. And we now only have to fill up only 1% of the justice. And this compassion is the origin of the heart of the shepherd. And we also have to have this mercy, compassion, because we have to have the same nature when we try to fill up the 1%. You know, he always wants to give life to us, and we have to have this kind of desire, same heart too. So what do you have to revive? What do you have to let live? We have to let others live. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. So Spirit gives life. So when we cast away sins and evil and cultivate Spirit, we have to have the desire to let others live, and it's not about ourselves. How much do we sacrifice for others? How much life are we giving to others? So this can be a standard with which we can check if we are filling up the 1%. How much do we care for others? Let us delve into that in two major aspects. The first aspect is about love. To give life to others, we have to care for them, truly. When we really care for others, just like Abraham cared for Lot and the people of Sodom, just like Moses, who prayed for the people of Israel, even though it meant his name would be blotted out of the book of life. So only when you have love for others, you can receive the wisdom to give life to them. So only when we have love, we can have the strength to practice this wisdom, carry out this wisdom. Here is an important thing here. And this love to give life to others, as in Luke 6:32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. As said, If you love only those who love you, if you love only those who are changing or who are very likely to change, it doesn't really count. Luke 6:35 says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men." So even for those who persecute you, those who are less likely to change, and if you have this love to give life to them, then you will care for them. And there are two cases in the Bible where this kind of love is shown. When a woman in adultery was caught, one day Pharisees and the scribes brought a woman who was caught in the act of adultery before Jesus. They wanted to see what Jesus would do. According to the law of the law, she had to be stoned to death. But if Jesus said, "Stone her to death," they would say, accuse Jesus of lacking love. On the contrary, if Jesus would say just to forgive, then they would accuse him of violating the law. So the Pharisees and the scribes, they were jealous of Jesus and they wanted to put him in a very difficult situation. With the evil intention, they were asking this question. And Jesus didn't say anything. He just wrote down something on the ground. And through the senior pastor's messages, you know what it is that Jesus was writing. And as they were asking, demanding for answer, Jesus said, "Whoever who is without sin among you will stone her first, throw a stone at her first." Then, seeing what Jesus was writing on the ground, they had pangs of conscience and they couldn't throw a stone at her because Jesus was writing down the sins that they committed. And those who had the least bit of conscience, they had the pangs of conscience and they couldn't throw the stone at her first. And Jesus finally forgave her, saying, "Do not sin anymore." And this love would have been etched deep inside the heart of this woman who was in front of, who was to be greatly humiliated. And it is the love and compassion, trying to give life to others. It is Jesus' love. And in the most marvelous way, He gave life to this woman. And what is more gracious in this story, in this event, is that He didn't just try to give life to this woman who was caught in the act of adultery. But not just that, but Jesus was giving chances to even those who were trying to set Him up. We can see this from the acts of Jesus. Jesus didn't say the names of the sins that they committed. But He didn't do that. He would just write them down on the ground. Why would they take all the trouble of writing them down? Because He didn't want to condemn anybody, but He wanted to give life to everybody. That is why He didn't mention and point out each one's sins one by one, but He just scooped down and so that then there would be no evidence left. He just wrote them down on the ground. Of course, He could have pointed out and spoken out the names of the sins, how they committed, when they committed. But He didn't do that, but He just by writing them down on the ground, they would also be able to repent. Once they would have a chance of repentance. And that kind of love eventually was continued until He was crucified. His love was not only for those who were following Him, but He loved even those who were trying to crucify Him, those who were trying to stand against Him. And that is why Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And this was the first, this was the first word on the cross. So because of this love of Jesus, we came to have new life. And because we received this love, even though there are people who are persecuting us, even though they are less likely to be changed, we try to give life to them. We have to have this love and compassion. But in some cases, you do the act of giving life, but actually you don't do that out of love, but just because you heard the words of truth, that you know that it is goodness, so you just try to do it. I also realized myself doing the same thing. Unintentionally, there was a I had a conflict with somebody, a particular person, continually, and tried to solve it. But there would be more and more misunderstanding. It wouldn't be resolved. So I kept on praying about it. But I realized that it was that I didn't rely on the wisdom of God, but I tried to resolve it by my own wisdom. So I just prayed for that person. And so after I realized that, I just left it to God and prayed about the situation, and it seemed to be resolved. But at one corner of my heart, there was a trouble in my heart, and I realized in my prayer that I was missing the most important thing. When I was doing something, when I was doing the act of all those good deeds, it looked like I was giving life to them. But in my heart was lacking love. I was lacking the love to give life to them. So my actions were not really actions of giving life to them, but I was just doing the outside work, outward actions. But I was actually doing it for myself. That I wanted to look like I cultivated goodness in me. But so depending on how much love you have in your actions, those actions will cause very different results. So when you care for others, when you give life to others, the most important thing is your love, genuine love for others. So when you try to act in goodness toward others, I hope you will check yourself as to how much love you have in you. So from now, let us also check, let me talk about one aspect to be able to check how much love we have. It is, how much do you really believe them? How much do you believe that they will change if you really love them? Even though they seem to be very, almost impossible to change, even though they lack so many things. If you really love them, then you will still believe them. And if you really still believe them, you will not see the 99 things that hinder them from changing, but you will see the one good thing that might change them. And you will help them with that. I had an incident in which I could feel it firsthand. It is a senior pastor invited students to his prayer house. Usually I attend the service on the second floor of the main sanctuary. And on the day senior pastor said he was going to invite the students to his prayer house, I was there too. And unlike other times, because the senior pastor was here, they were paying more attention. But there were some students who were not really paying attention too. And I was once a guidance pastor for 8th graders, so I was feeling kind of having this sympathy for them. And suddenly I heard the senior pastor say he was going to invite them to his prayer house, and they began to cheer, and since then, their attitude changed, turned around totally. And it was not just attitudes in the worship services, but I heard a lot of testimony. Some students who couldn't pray now began to pray, and those who couldn't cut off the worldly things, they began to cut off those things, secular pleasures. And as the students were changing, I was wondering what it is that changed these students. It is, of course, the fact that senior pastor invited them to his prayer house, but it was mainly because of senior pastor's faith in them, even though they lack a lot of things. If they feel the love of the shepherd, they will certainly change. And because he believed in that fact, he showed his faith in them. And because the students felt this love of the senior pastor, they began to change. And he didn't just show his faith and trust in them, but also so that they could feel, so that they could have hope of heaven. He still fulfilling the measure of justice. And I could feel this in the festivity of spirit. They had this festival of lighting festival at night. I was talking with some of the pastors, and see the pastor explained how he prepared all those things in detail. And of course, you will see them in detail in the next Friday Ola service. If it just in just one swimming pool, he cared, he checked even the depth of the water and all the equipments and everything. He cared for each and every one of them. And in the cafe on the second floor, there was this slush also, and which I enjoyed. And for men, it was a big cup noodle, and for girls, it was smaller cup noodles. So in so much detail and so much delicacy, he prepared all these things. And I hope you are having your hopes up about that event. But it's not just that. But still, in it, during the festivity of a spirit, senior pastor had to keep on scratching his face. Not only for those who are coming to the festivity of a spirit, but also for so many others and students who'd come. And I could look back on myself. Rather than seeing the students with the eyes of faith, I felt more of a sympathy. And I realized that it wasn't really out of true love. And I remembered myself. I couldn't even trust myself. I couldn't even have faith in myself. And senior pastor still believed in me. Not just believed in me, but believed in me that I would do well. And he gave me the calling to be a pastor too. And he didn't see the 99 negative points from me. But he looked at the one good point that I wasn't even aware of. And he brought it out, and he guided me to become a pastor. And without that faith of his, how could I be standing here at this moment and deliver the message? And because of that faith in me, of the senior pastor, I am what I am today. And it's the same for all of you. And if you feel this faith, anybody can do it, I believe. And I could feel as dear students, senior pastor is preparing all these things for you. And I hope you are also preparing yourselves. I hope through those happy days in the prayer house, you'll be changed into good children of God. And this faith is not just for the students, but it is for each and every one of us here. And you know it very well. And because of that faith, we could change. And because we received this love, we should be able to look at others with the eyes of love. Sometimes we should be able to wait for them. And the beginning is not to look at the 99 negative points, but look at the one good point from them and help them. And I hope we will be able to give life to others with this kind of compassion and love. And the second aspect, to be able to check how much we can give life to others, it is our actions. We are very well aware of the story of the Good Samaritan. There's a man who was robbed on the way, and the priest, he just passed him. He saw this man, almost half dead, but he just passed. And also another Levite, he just passed him by. Priests and Levites, they are the ones that serve God. They know the law of God more than anybody else. And they are the ones who are supposed to carry out the will of God most. But when they were supposed to do the will of God, they didn't. but a Samaritan who appeared later. He didn't just pass him by, but he bandaged the wounds like the priest and Levite, and he put him on a donkey, and he went into an inn, and he paid the innkeeper to take care of him. He promised he would also pay whatever the cost that could incur until he comes back. And because of this act, the person who could be dead was now revived. And those who give life to the souls is not who have a lot of knowledge of the Word of God, like priest and Levite, but it was a good Samaritan who was pleasing in the sight of God. Just like in this parable, to give life to others, you shouldn't just have sympathy on them, and you shouldn't just say, oh, be encouraged. But as in 1 John 3:18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We have to show our love in action. Or you may think, oh, I don't have the capability to give life to others. It's not that we have the ability to give life to others. We can give life to others. It is something that can be done only by God. But the only thing we can do is become an instrument so that the power of God can be transferred. The love of God can be transferred. When we do not rely on ourselves, but rely on God and try to do our best, He can begin to work. I have a testimony. Let me tell you a story about a small group leader. She became the small group leader for the first time, and she was wondering if she could fulfill her duty. But anyway, she tried to rely on God, and she tried to give to her members. And one of the members was oppressed by her own shortcomings. So this leader wanted to help her. But she realized that she couldn't do anything for her. And she didn't just say, oh, I feel sorry, but I can't do anything. But she just she prayed to God about, and she tried to care for this soul, even from little things. And from this special Daniel prayer meeting, this member began to change. She began praying, and her face became brighter, and she began to attend the Tuesday praise and worship too. And I heard what happened to her, and I was very touched by her story. And she was thinking that she had to begin again, but she didn't have the strength to do it. But from this special dinner prayer meeting, she really had the willingness that she wanted to come. So she came to the dinner prayer meeting. And she was worried that she might not be able to pray, you know, because it's been a long time. But she received a lot of blessing, and the original voice of the shepherd has come upon her too. And there was a chance through which the original voice came upon her. And it was the book, Abraham. And in the book is a part where it explains about the salvation of Lot. And she reading that, she realized that the senior pastor doesn't give up on me, and relying on that love, I might be able to change too. That's what she realized, she said. And because it was given by the leader, she was thankful for the leader. Anyway, when you take care of the souls, if this leader just didn't do anything, only because she couldn't do anything, and feeling sorry for her, what did that have happened? Because she was doing something, even for even little things. That's why this member could receive the grace of God, and this small group leader became more confident about taking care of the souls. So when we try to give life to others, we shouldn't just feel sorry and sympathetic, but we have to show the action. So when we show this action of giving life to others, what is important thing? There are many other things, but let me just mention one thing here. Is that when you do it, there must be yourself, which means you shouldn't have any ego, your will, your limitations, seeking your own interest. There mustn't be any of these things. Before thinking about others, you shouldn't have anything of yourself so that God can really work and God can really touch that person. But let us see. When you try to give life to others, wouldn't you put yourself first before them? It's usually seen between parents and children. The parents, they love the children. So in order to give life to them, they do something, but because they put themselves ahead of the children, conflicts arise. There was a I know of a person who was praying very hard all the time, but from a certain moment, he was cooling down in his prayers. So I was wondering about whether to speak to him or not, but I just didn't. But one day, I really felt that he really should pray hard, but I just so mentioned that I think maybe you look a little different. Your prayers do not really seem to be the same as the past. Why don't you try to check something? And fortunately, he was good-hearted enough to accept my advice. But after saying that, I wasn't happy. So I was contemplating on it and prayed. And I looked back on myself once again. When I said that, I was thinking, if it were the Father, the Lord, and the Shepherd, I didn't think about what they would have said, but my intention was put first. I didn't care about his situations. But on a day like this, he should pray really hard, and it was my own righteousness and my own framework, and I put myself ahead of him, and if I contemplated on it a little more, I wouldn't have said what I said in that way, the way I said it. I would have realized after praying, the Holy Spirit would have led me to realize what to say and when to and how to say it. Fortunately, he was good-hearted enough and to accept my advice, but if he didn't, my word wouldn't have give life to him, but make him stumble. And I realized that fact, and I looked back on myself once again. Brothers and sisters, and when you try to give life to others, you shouldn't put yourself ahead of anything. You must not have any of yourself, anything of yourself. So even the best things, even with good intention, you're doing something. Rather than giving life to them, you might end up making them stumble. So it is very important to put the will of God ahead of anything of yourself. So when you say something or do something, you have to think about what if the Father, the Lord, and the Shepherd would have done? What would they have done in this situation? What if it were the Father and the Lord and the Shepherd? What would they have done? So when you do that, the Holy Spirit can work in full scale and can really give life to them. For this reason, you shouldn't have any of yourself in it and just try to do the will of God. Let me conclude the message. Today, I talked about the fourth word, Eli, Eli, Lama Sabachthani. The spiritual meaning of this is that to save the sinners from the way of hell, Jesus willingly took all the sufferings for us. And even though he didn't have any strength after being questioned and being flogged all night, he still cried out with a loud voice. And secondly, I talked about this desire to give life to others. And when giving life to others, when trying to give life to others, what we have to consider. Dear brothers and sisters, About this time of last year, somebody became quite famous in Manmin Church. And it was King Sejong the Great of Joseon Dynasty. I was reminded of a scene when Jang Yongshil was explaining about Sejong the Great. He said he is the highest on this earth, but he is the lowest too. Even one person, one people in his kingdom is earth, sky, and universe. And I believe you were moved by his words. Of course, these lines are moving, but hearing these lines, we would have been reminded of one common person. We would have been reminded of the Father God, the Lord, and the Shepherd too. Father God is highest above of all and anything, any person, any being. But he gave out even his most precious only son. And also being the one and only son of God, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the highest, but he came down to this earth in a lowly human form, and he took the cross, sufferings of the cross for us in order to save us. The Father God and the Lord went through all the troubles of all these things, just like what Jang Yongshil said about King Sejong. Because we are the most precious to the Father and the Lord. And having this heart of the Father and the Lord, our shepherd, because he receives the love of the Father and the Lord, he lacks nothing. And yet, for us, he is fulfilling the 99% on our behalf, which is a way of tremendous sacrifice, even today. The reason is, like what Jang Yongshil said about King Sejong, because King Sejong considered his people like earth and sky and universe, because the shepherd loved us to the utmost degree. And I could feel this love on the festivity of in the festivity of spirit too. And you showed a little bit of, you saw a little bit of the lighting festival. And seeing that, I could feel the love of the shepherd even more deeply. And the moment I saw it, because I like to contemplate on various things, whatever I see. And seeing that, I couldn't think about anything. And what I realized, I saw my mouth was open, wide open. I couldn't think of anything. I was so happy, and it was so beautiful, and I couldn't think of anything. I was anything. But then tears began to roll down from my eyes. Before going there, I prayed about this lighting festival, saying that I wanted to realize the love of the shepherd even more. And I was reminded of what I realized then. It is that how the senior pastor prepared all this lighting festival, and it was very similar with Sejong the Great when he was trying to create the Korean alphabet, Hangul. And for him, he was going blind because of diabetes, as a complication of diabetes, and yet he still kept on working to create this alphabet because he wanted the people's eyes to be opened, literally, in literature. And when Senior Pastor was preparing for this lighting festival, he could barely see. And what is the reason? And because he is filling up the measure of justice on our behalf. And that is why he can't see. And it is for us, and for it, and to show us the most beautiful thing to us. He made all these things, not for him to enjoy, but for us, for whom he had to sacrifice so much. He prepared all these things for us. So not just in spiritual sense, but in the physical sense also, it was so beautiful. So he wanted to give us the best things, both in spirit and body, so that we could have true hope of heaven. And something touched my heart very much. And just before the lighting festival began, and there was an announcement that before the lightings came on, were turned on, we were saying that we should keep our voices down because of the possible neighbors. But senior pastor said it's okay. You shouldn't try to put it down, suppress it, your exclamations and your cheering, because we should be able to deliver this scene, the vigor and livelihood, I mean the energy and the beauty and everything to all the members of Manmin. And that made me shed tears, because I could feel the love of the shepherd who wanted to give all these things to all Manmin members, and not just those who were there. And he gives us everything. He gives out everything. And he gives out his love not just for several people or a handful of people. He wants to give that love to every one of us. And you will see that in the Friday online service in the Manmin magazine. I would like to suggest one thing. And you might be taken aback because it's so beautiful. And don't just stop by where you're feeling happy. But I hope you will think about the heart of the shepherd when he was preparing all these things, swimming pool and flowers and lighting festival and so many other things. And I believe you will have more, you'll feel more blessed. Brothers and sisters, we have received this precious and such a tremendous love. And just like we were revived by this love, and we should also be able to deliver this love to others, then we'll be able to make this sacrifice shine more. And I hope you will keep this message in mind and in your given circumstances. And you have this one more week for students, and you'll try to fill up your 1% of the measure of justice so that you will make the 99% of the shepherd shine more. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. We'll receive the prayer for the sick of the senior pastor. Lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities. And for those who are not sick, lay your hands on your chest and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Hallelujah, Almighty God, the Father who loves us. Lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN Internet and Satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and touch them with the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Light, come. Scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers. AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Father, cleanse them. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened, get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Father, let there be no scars remaining. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessings of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Heavenly Father, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying the Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.